Welcome to episode number 72 of the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast, where Christina and I dive into the top five fitness trends that need to die in 2022. In this episode, we cover all the latest fads and trends, but we're not just talking bad about them for the whole episode. You're going to walk away today with practical applications for what to do instead of the fads you hear so much about. So stick around past the intro if you're new, because it's going to be a good one. As always, if you like the podcast and you want to support it, all we ask is that you share this episode with a friend, family member, or coworker who would benefit from it. One share can go a really long way and supports our mission to help as many people as possible to live a healthier, sustainable lifestyle. Finally, we would love you even more than we already do if you took the time to leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Ratings and reviews are how this podcast moves up the ranks and becomes accessible to even more people. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this episode number 72, Top 5 Fitness Trends That Need to Die in 2022.
Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Christina Lynn, and I'm here with my co-host, Marissa Roy. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about fitness trends that need to die.
I thought this title was so funny because I was just thinking of like a little kid like smashing like ants or like little bugs and being like, die.
That's not where my head went, but okay, Marissa.
Yeah, but yes, these trends need to die. But I could just, like, I could picture us making a meme out of this episode and just having a kid, like, stomping on bugs and then having the bugs be the fitness trends.
I feel like it's more like the magnifying glass. Isn't that more of, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's a nerdy kid, yeah, absolutely.
So you.
Yes. I actually never did that as a kid, but... Yeah, that's probably would be me. But anyways.
Probably a good thing that you didn't do that as a kid.
Yeah. So I did not murder anything as a child. On to the topic.
Great intro, guys.
So let's start here. I think the first thing that really like sticks out is just the fads in general. And I think we kind of brush over these a lot, like, you know, we'll make a reel that's funny and we'll make fun of like keto or something, right? Like we'll talk about it all the time, but we never really get into depth with it. So I'm kind of excited to be able to like shed a little bit more light on this. But yeah, so like intermittent fasting, keto, vegan could be a fad, but it also is just a lifestyle. Depends on how you frame it. Paleo, gluten-free, etc. Right? So like depending on how people are using it, essentially a fad would be, I would define it as a way, like you could take any of these and be like, this is how you could live your life. This could be a lifestyle, but most people take it as a quick weight loss solution. So I would more so define it as that. Would you agree?
Yeah. So like something like a juice cleanse, because a juice cleanse, obviously you can't drink, you know, juice as your only meal the rest of your life, or like diet pills, detox teas, kind of things like that, is just kind of like that quick fix mentality, I guess, more so than like following a magical diet. So if this is your very first episode, I'm really sorry that you had to listen to that intro. but if you are someone who's been listening to this for a while, then you know our podcast is all about sustainability. So the number one thing that we want to combat is anything that is kind of, I guess, marketed as this like magical fix, that this is going to just cure everything, that there's no hard work. It's just like, buy this product and you will get the body of your dreams.
Oh yeah. I was at the gym with a friend. It was probably a month or two ago, but we saw this ad on the TV at the gym, and it was this like, basically like exercise ball. That's like a weird shape. Like just a grooved shape of an exercise ball. So it just looks like a blob, but it's like this magic ab building solution. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? And it's like $90 for an exercise ball that should probably be like $25. And I was so frustrated. So anyways, basically all those things, right? Like you know, at the end of the day, there is going to be a person where keto fits their lifestyle. There's going to be a person where intermittent fasting just makes sense. There's going to be a person who has to go gluten-free because they're celiac. There's going to be people who choose the vegan lifestyle because of ethical reasons, right? But when people take these things and say, I'm going to do this for, you know, losing 15 pounds in the next, 2 weeks, like, and they think that that is the solution to their problems, that's what we want to die. Not the actual necessarily things themselves, but like how they get marketed and how they get used and how they get basically abused in a way.
Yeah. And I think kind of what we want to get people to move away from is the idea that they just buy this one product or they just do this one cleanse and it'll solve everything. And we really want to focus more on sustainable habits, right? Like things that you can do the rest of your life long term, and really focus more so on process versus outcome, which we've talked about in a number of different episodes. But I'm thinking of a couple clients in particular who are having a hard time moving away from something like a magical diet that they've used in the past and saw results on. And they think like, oh, well, that is the reason I saw results. So therefore I need to continue to do that if I want to see success again. And they're having a really hard time moving away from that one particular diet and trying something new because they feel like, well, I went vegan and that's what helped me lose the 15 pounds. And so a lot of these things like juice cleanses, intermittent fasting, all of these things, usually there creates a deficit. And that is the number one reason that people lose weight is from the deficit, not because it's this magical diet. So,
yeah. Yeah. And it really takes like I know you and I had to think about this yesterday because I actually had a client who worked with me in 2020. I was at a volleyball thing and she came up to me, was telling me about like all these revelations her new boyfriend is having because like she lives this lifestyle that she built with me back then. And he's like starting to learn more about food and break all his old misconceived notions. And like, to me, it's like, I know what's in everything. I know what's a carb, what's a fat, what's a protein. But like, I had to really zoom out in that conversation and be like, there are a lot of people who just don't know what's in the food that they eat because they've never tracked it before. They've never exposed themselves to that information. And, you know, that information's out there on food labels everywhere. But like, you know, for produce, you wouldn't know unless you looked it up, right? And so kind of getting myself to like zoom out and be like, there is a big learning curve that needs to be done to like break those kind of notions and like really change those beliefs. But yeah, that was like a kind of a light bulb moment for me, because like I always think that I'm pretty good at like stepping back and zooming out and thinking of things from a bigger picture. But like that hit me yesterday and I was like, oh crap, like I forget that that's like something that a lot of people need to overcome too.
Yeah, definitely. And I think what you said is just kind of like overcoming a lot of like those old beliefs that you used to have about food and nutrition in general. So basically the number one thing we want to take away is like, if anything is marketed as like too good to be true or something that's just going to be this like the only one product you need, it's probably not going to work. Or if it does, it might might help you lose 5-10 pounds, but it's not sustainable in the long run. It's not something you can keep up. So move away from anything that's like juice cleanse, diet pills, detox teas, like waist trainers, the fun little Skecher toning shoes.
Yeah, I don't know what those are. You put those on the list and
you've never seen those?
What? Yeah.
Yeah, those like Skecher like tone up shoes that they're supposed to like grow your butt. Yeah, I'll have to send it to you. But like anything that is marketed that just seems like it's going to be the only thing you ever need, like move away from it. Or I guess take the magnifying glass and kill it.
Yeah. Well, also like if it does work, right? Like for example, a lot of people lose a lot of weight with keto. And so if it does work, what people fail to do is examine why. Why did it work?
Yeah.
Because when we really zoom out and look at it, it created a calorie deficit. It depleted your body of a lot of water retention because carbs were taken out of the picture. It removed like 80% of our normal food choices. By default, we have to increase our fruit and vegetable intake and lean meat intake to be able to like get the intake that we need with keto, right? And like the thing is like, so that's we have to zoom out and think like, okay, well, why all of those things happened? What are some principles from how that worked that I could take and use sustainably that might not be quite as extreme? So I think just kind of zoom out with the why it worked as well for a lot of these.
Yeah. I think that's really important because it's probably not necessarily like I'll hear a lot of people who are like, oh, well, I went vegan or I went keto or I went paleo and I lost all this food. And it's because of the diet. It's like, no, just zoom out, think big picture.
Yeah. It's like, were you eating crap before? Went paleo? Okay. Yeah. We get it.
Yeah. Or like, oh, I feel so much better when I eat vegan. It's like, well, yeah, probably because you're eating a lot more fruits and vegetables and not processed foods, but I digress.
Yeah. Cool. Let's jump to the next. Kind of like with this one, I was thinking of like the old bodybuilder mindset and like the templated meal plans from like prep coaches and like quick diet plan, like quote unquote nutritionists, that say like you have to cut off your carb intake at 6 p.m. or you have to avoid carbs before bed or whenever it's dark out for whatever reason, because your body shuts down and turns it right into fat.
Yes. Well, I think what the idea or the thought process was, and because I definitely fell victim to this mentality, like I remember eating like cereal when I was in college at like 9 p.m. for a snack and feeling guilty because I was like, oh no, I'm eating carbs. But the idea is like, oh, well, if you're, you know, eating carbs at like 9 p.m., and then you're going to go to bed, like your body's not going to burn that energy and you're just going to retain that fat. So you should only use it around when you're going to be active, which is like, in a sense, like we definitely tell our more advanced clients to have their carbs like more pre and post workout. So like there is some sort of like, oh, like, yeah, that makes sense, right? But like your body's still burning calories when it's at rest. So it's not like, it's like, oh, it's night out. Like, and your body's like, well, we got to turn this into fat. But they kind of like use this bro mentality where it's like, it almost is something where you could believe.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to zoom out, real high level here and like, just recognize the fact that your body doesn't recognize time. Like, to your body, like, it's just, we're just continuing to exist. There's no clock. There's no, like, time. Yes, we have a circadian rhythm. Yes, and we go to sleep. And that's the argument that they'll kind of, like, die on the hill for the no carbs after dark. But your metabolism doesn't stop. And yes. At the end of the day, like, how I like to frame this, too, is, like, okay, the reason this became a thing is because at night people are tired, they're sleepy, they have less willpower. So what are you going to do when you're sitting in front of the TV? You're going to reach and keep reaching into the bag for more chips, more popcorn, whatever it is. So yeah, whatever quote unquote carbs or, you know, mixed macro sources that you're eating, you're probably going to overconsume when it's late and you're exhausted and your willpower is low, when willpower is usually highest in the morning. So then that kind of becomes like, oh, well, just don't eat before bed because it's bad for you. No, it's technically just like most people tend to overconsume things at night when they're tired. So I like to frame it as, if you are consistent 24 hours to 24 hours to 24 hours in your days of eating, it won't end up mattering in terms of a calorie surplus or deficit or whatever you're trying to keep. Because if you're being consistent over the course of time, and your body's reliably getting the same amount over and over and over again, it's all going to be used evenly across that amount of time, even if you are eating a bunch of food before bed, which we see with our clients all the time. Because a lot of times when we increase their food, they're like, I don't know what to do with this. I have like 1,000 calories to eat before bed. Do I eat those? And they still see results even when they're troubleshooting through that. So, yeah, that's kind of how I like to look at that.
Yeah. And I have some clients who will be like, you know, oh, I feel that urge to snack at night. And so my response is usually like, well, figure out something you want to snack on and fit it into your macros. Like if that's something that you like to do, then like do it rather than trying to like fight that urge over and over again. And I know that you and I have some clients who are very similar, where they have very, very early morning workouts where they don't either have time to eat or they just don't can't stomach it. So you and I will actually say, well, eat your like pre-workout as your last meal, like eat that right before bed. And so they might, you know, eat an entire bowl of oatmeal or, you know, whatever it is that they want. And they go to sleep and they wake up and they lift and they still have all that glycogen in their system. And, you know, that's what we want them to do. And it's not like their body doesn't say, oh, well, it's 9 p.m. We're going to like store it as fat. Like you said, that we don't have this time that our body is like, oh no, it's 9:01 whatever it might be. So, you know, you're allowed to eat carbs before bed and just fit it into your overall intake and you should be fine.
Yeah. I don't even wake up that early. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I train at 7 a.m. every time I train. And I don't even eat before that because I just,
oh wow,
I can't. Yeah. It's like a total paradigm shift from like how I used to be, but, I literally just, if I take the time to sit down after I've gotten up at 6 a.m, I will not get out the door. So I'm either up and I'm up and out or I'm just chilling. So I don't eat and I just have like my normal day of eating every day and it fuels me across, you know, the 24-hour cycle. So let's move on to, I actually want to skip over to kind of like the best exercises for your outer thighs or the best exercises for your hip dips or the best exercises for your love handles or tricep fat or all of that, because it's marketed and there's like a few Instagram accounts that like really like blow up on those things where they like highlight the body part and they like kind of like try to market it as like, you just need to do this exercise for this. But like, It is definitely not true. And, you know, I can say you can't spot reduce fat and like we can just lose body fat where our body wants to lose it. But I think it kind of pulls us away from like what strength training is really all about, which is what I don't like about it the most, right? Because it's like people are basically picking apart their bodies and be like, I just need to do this exercise, and this exercise to look the way I want to look. When in reality, like the best way to look the way you want to look is to train your entire body just hard as hell.
Yeah. And I think the big thing that you mentioned is it's marketing, right? It's for a lot of people that want to be able to kind of grow their Instagram. I think that's the big thing. And it may be a good arm workout, maybe a good leg workout, but it's just the marketing behind it, trying to get eyes in. And like, I understand it. And you and I have talked about that before, the kind of that dichotomy between like marketing versus like actually giving people what they need. But I think the other thing that people get a little bit maybe confused or mixed up on is like the idea that you can grow certain body parts. Like if you train your legs, like you're going to grow your leg muscles, or if you train your arms are going to grow. So I think the opposite is like, well, if I train my arms or if I train my glutes, then I can like spot reduce too. And like you might train your arms and you might like build some muscle and it might lose fat, but you're not like spot reducing. Like your body is going to lose fat where it wants to lose fat. So Marissa and I are very different as far as like body composition. And there are like so many people that I can like think of on Instagram where just like their body holds and stores more fat in different areas. So there's like one person in particular, like that I can think of. And I'm sure that there are like lots of people where you're like, oh, this one person can eat whatever they want. And they have this like super lean stomach all the time. But they might have like a lot of fat on their arms, or they might have a lot of fat on their legs, but they have the super lean midsection. And it's like, not, you're like, oh, that's not fair. Because me in particular, I hold a lot of fat. I store a lot of fat in my midsection. So that's like my one, I guess, you know, quote unquote trouble area, but a lot of people will like hold it in their arms and they could lose 20 pounds and their arms still look like they did when they first got started. And so you can't spot reduce as much as you want to train your arms. You're not going to lose fat unless you get to a certain amount of body fat. percentage.
Yeah. And here's the other thing too, because I'll use a personal example that like actually was a huge mental block for me for a very long time. Was I basically, I'm that person. I actually had this conversation with a training partner of mine the other day, like I think yesterday or the day before. We were doing back and biceps and she was like, "Do you train biceps?" And I was like, "Yeah, I do now." Because I literally probably went like 2 years without doing biceps and triceps directly because I keep a pretty lean and flat stomach and it's pretty hard for me to like pack on weight there. Like I can like kind of see an ab or two, like no matter what season I'm in, which is kind of cool. And it's great for photo shoots. It's great for getting content, right? But I don't store a lot of fat in my stomach or my legs. It's really like the back of my hips and my arms. And it's like my upper arm. So there's never really any shoulder cap to bicep definition. I have huge triceps, so you can see those now. But like I basically avoided training arms because I was like, I just don't want them to get any bigger because I already store fat on them. I know I can't spot reduce fat. So I don't want to train them and make them bigger. But then I had to have the mindset shift of basically if I don't train my arms directly, like I'm still doing back and chest movements, but if I don't train them directly, then I'm basically giving my entire body less of a chance to have as much muscle as it possibly could. And guess what that does? Makes your metabolism stronger. And therefore you can have an easier time losing fat or maintaining a leaner body composition overall. So the past couple of years, I have diligently kept up with having either a dedicated arm and shoulder day or adding biceps or triceps onto my upper body days. And I've done it consistently for about probably two years now, really. And my arms do look a little bit leaner because I have the muscle there to really support that. And what I found is that it didn't make my arms just look bigger. It just allowed me to have more muscle overall, therefore have a higher metabolism, therefore look leaner as a whole overall, even though relatively my arms still hold the most fat. It's definitely a visible difference. So that's something that honestly took me a very long time to get over, and I would like avoid arms like the plague. So hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah. And I've had some people will, you know, they'll hold a lot of fat in their legs and they'll ask me like, oh, you know, how do you have definition in your legs? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I've had a freaking like quad separation since I was like 12. So
yeah. Yeah. I'm the exact same way, but I'll have some women that'll come to me and say, I want to reduce like the size of my face. Like I want to have a leaner face. And I'm like, well, we got to
girl, me too.
Yeah. God. When I was pregnant, oh man, it was really bad. But like we talk about diet face all the time. When you're in prep, you get super lean and you just have like, you don't even have fat in your face anymore. Yeah. You're so lean, but yeah. So you can't spot reduce. So when you see a, you know, fit chick on Instagram saying, you know, do this for hip dips, like that's not even a thing. But you can't spot reduce. So try not to get sucked into following like the random workouts on Instagram or trying a new exercise because it looks new and cool. So that's the other thing too, is like, you'll see people standing on a Bosu ball, like with a three bands around their hips, doing just like crazy stuff. And it may look cool, but I think the other thing that we talked about is like altitude mass, like, you know, just these like super complex exercises. Like you might feel like you've got a good workout in because you're sore the next day because you did this brand new exercise that you weren't used to, but you're more than likely going to injure yourself. It's not going to get you closer to your goals, and you want to stick with the basics, just the foundation. And it is boring, like to an extent, right? Like, yeah, you might be just doing like squat, deadlift, bench, like, you know, primary movements and stuff like that, or doing variations of them. And it may not feel as fun as the person next to you doing this like crazy workout routine, but that's going to get you closer to your goals.
Yeah. I think, you know, there's a time and a place for variety, right? Like you can sprinkle it in, and like there is a time and a place for like stuff that requires balance, more functional movement and like that sort of thing. But like a lot of it is unnecessary, and people who kind of center their entire workout around like just the crazy, like I've seen people do like jumping hack squat or hack deadlifts, like hack bar deadlifts. Yeah. Weird, for like their vertical, but yeah. So, it's just unnecessary. And like, even if it doesn't lead to injury, like how do you really progress on that kind of stuff, right? Compared to just loading a bar as heavy as you can and benching it, or loading a bar as heavy as you can and squatting it and getting overall way stronger. And it's going to hit all those big muscles that you need to hit, but also all the little ones that like these special exercises are trying to get you to hit, right? Like the little tiny gluteus, you know, minimus that's hidden within like X, Y, and Z muscles. Like, yeah, like you're going to hit that with a big back squat because just everything needs to be recruited. So like stop worrying about like targeting the tiny thing and just do big movements. So
yeah, and there are people who, like you were mentioning, like they may need to train a certain way because they are more focused on performance, or they you know, do something within their job that they need to be explosive, or, you know, whatever it is. But I feel like it's important to train towards your goals and what you're looking to do. And that's not to say that you have to follow like this super bro bodybuilder split. Like you can definitely work in different types of movements and different types of exercises. And we've definitely talked about before, like while we can stick with a routine for a long time, there's definitely times where we walk into maybe a new gym and we're just like, I just want to do whatever I feel like doing today, or just whatever feels good. Or I'd just like to do like 100 lateral raises or like whatever it might be, because you enjoy doing that. Right. So like there's a time and place, but I feel like just training more so towards your goals is going to be the best bet.
Yeah. And on the regular, it's like, on the regular, it's boring, but like every now and again, you have those moments. That's fine, right? But it's like the foundation of your training shouldn't be those, like, just always trying new things. Otherwise, you're not really going to get anywhere. The final thing I think I would want to cover is the, maybe it's not a trend, but it's a tendency for a lot of women, especially maybe men too, probably, but competitors who use prep as the solution to their off-season, I don't know, weight gain, binge fest, post-show stuff, right? So we have both competed and multiple times. And I would like to say, you know, I think we've both had really successful off-seasons as of late, like our most recent shows and like how we've handled it, our mindsets around it and what we've preached around that. But unfortunately, a lot of times people fall into the cycle of quick 12-week preps, getting super, super, super lean, killing themselves for it, and they use a really restrictive approach, and then therefore they rebound really hard after, and they fall into the cycle of contest prep, or, you know, we can even extract this out to just dieting as a whole, like even dieting just being a solution for, you know, for weight gain versus just being able to live at maintenance, being able to live a healthy lifestyle. So that's something that I see as like a really toxic cycle for competitors, especially, that you can really get trapped in.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess my most recent off season didn't go that successfully because I got pregnant. So
well, like,
I know. But no, I think, and I have definitely fallen into this cycle in the very beginning where I would do a prep, I'd go into off season, and I wasn't necessarily focused on growing. It was more so I would just put on weight. I'd get unhappy with my physique. And then I was like, I can't wait to start prep again because I wanted to get lean. So I'd go in this cycle, and it wasn't necessary. It was the body composition. That was a big, big part of it, because I got uncomfortable with where I was. But it was this, I went from being super strict, so having this like black and white mentality, all or nothing, to off season where there was no structure at all. I did whatever I wanted. I didn't really follow a routine. I didn't have any purpose in my off season other than just trying to build up calories, but then going crazy with food, not feeling like I had any control. And then I felt like in order to fix that, I needed to prep again. So I was in this not so great cycle. And I think that happens with a lot of people. So it's not necessarily, it is the physique that definitely is part of it, but I think it's more of that mindset. So it's like this all or nothing, that I have to be 100% on prep, super strict, or I'm not following or doing anything. And then in order to fix that, I need to go into prep again. So trying to live in that maintenance mode that we've talked about all the time, where it's like you can have some structure, you can have some rigidity. Yes. And just kind of being flexible, but at the same time, like still following like the healthy habits, like still drinking your water, like still making sure you have balanced meals, like you're not eating like an asshole when you go out to dinner, like kind of all of those things, and trying to find that nice balance between the two. That way you don't feel like, when am I going to prep again? When am I going to prep again? Because I'm feeling gross. I'm feeling this, more so than like, wow, I can't wait to get on stage. I can't wait to show off all the muscle and all the improvements that I've made in my off season. So, that I think is, it's like former competitors, but then also try not to get into a prep because you're unhappy with your current body and like think that, oh, this will bring me closer to my goals, or I'll finally be happy, because most of the time, like you're probably actually going to make things worse if you already have that body dysmorphia, and then you get into competitions where people are judging your physique, and now you've like gotten really, really lean, and you're going to want to be that lean all the time. That's not healthy.
Yeah. And you know what? I was like, maybe this doesn't fit for like lifestyle populations too, but it does, because everything we talked about in the first fad that we want to die with, like the fad diets and like jumping into keto or intermittent fasting or blah, blah, blah. It's like basically the mindset that there's either dieting to lose weight or there's nothing at all. And that's really what it is, right? It's like there's no actual foundation or lifestyle outside of just, oh, it's just I'm dieting or I'm not. And like, if I'm not, then like there's nothing. But really what it should be is I'm living a healthy lifestyle, or I'm dieting, I've turned the dial up on all these things. And we've talked about the dial of just like basically, you know, living a healthy lifestyle, I might be at a level 5 on the volume dial, right? So I might be getting to the gym, eating my healthy meals, but I'm also having indulgences and being flexible. But a contest prep or a really strict diet, you might turn that dial up to 10 and just put 110% into everything that you do. People often view it as there's a 10 or there's a 0 and there's nothing in between, but there's so much in between, and most people don't learn how to live in between. Most people only learn how to live, I give it everything or I'm totally off. And that's like the number one thing that we like see clients deal with when they come in, is like, they don't know how to just like do something semi-easy that fits into their life and like actually just be consistent with it. Because a lot of times when we have clients who are really successful, they get worried because they feel like they're not doing enough when really they're following the plan perfectly. It's like 3 days a week at the gym, you know, being flexible with their nutrition, but understanding like where their boundaries are and just prioritizing their time. And that's it. And I've had people literally be like, hey, Marissa, like, should I be worried? Like, am I missing something? I'm like, no, this should fall into the background. It should become automatic. And you can do more with the rest of your life now because you have more energy and time and structure. And they're like, wow, that's insane. But like, that's literally like, that's the medium that everyone needs, but no one even sees as an option, which I think is crazy.
Yeah. So I know that we're running out of time, but I still want to do 5 because I'm OCD.
Oh, okay. So, that's the title. You're right.
Yeah. 5 things. So number 5 is women will get bulky from lifting weights. And that's a hard no. So a lot of women think that if they pick up a weight, that they're all of a sudden just going to like accidentally win like Miss Olympia and just be this huge bodybuilder. And so I think it's like the analogy, it's like, lifting weights, you think that it's kind of like the idea of, oh, I'm afraid to drive my car because I'm going to end up being a NASCAR driver. Like, it doesn't just happen accidentally, right? Like, you have to put a lot of time and energy and intent behind your lifts. And that's something that we talked about. And I don't know if this episode will do before or after. But we've talked about this quite a bit, where we have tried like the little 5-pound weights. And then, you know, I wish I had started lifting heavier early, because I used to think this too, but you can lift really freaking hard and make like little to no muscle gain. Yeah. It is incredibly hard.
Super frustrating.
For a natural female. Yeah. Oh, it's so annoying. It is incredibly hard for a natural female to put on the amount of muscle that we want to put on. And it's a really, really slow process. So lift heavy. That's, I mean, to wrap it up and make it real quick.
Yeah. And heavy's relative, right? It's like, heavy for someone might be a 5-pound dumbbell on a lateral raise. That's okay. But like, just generally speaking, make sure you're challenging yourself And like I said in number three, about my arms, is the more muscle you have on your body as a whole, the more you're going to be able to maintain a leaner body composition, lose fat easier. So it's just going to make the rest of your life better on a physique side of things. So lift heavy. It's great for your metabolism. It's great for the way you look and obviously the way you feel.
Yeah. And you may put on muscle and you may lose fat and you actually might see the scale increase. That doesn't mean that you're just like super big and bulky. It just means that you've put on muscle and that's awesome. So you may weigh more and look better than you did before. So that lifting heavy or just lifting in general is going to give you that more tone look that a lot of women are after. So that is going to be quick little wrap up for number five. But I want to apologize again for the intro. I'm sorry you guys are still listening. But we hope that you enjoyed this episode. We hope that you learned something. And if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You can find both of us on Instagram. You can find me at Christy Lynn Fit and Marissa's at Marissa Roy Fitness. So thank you guys so much for listening and we hope to see you back next week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast, and we hope you enjoyed this episode and learned something from it. Please remember that Christina and I are not medical professionals, so if you're going to make any changes to your exercise or nutrition routines, please consult with your doctor or medical team first. Finally, we would love you even more than we already do if you took the time to leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Ratings and reviews are how this podcast moves up the ranks and becomes accessible to even more people. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next Tuesday here at the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast.